I will talk to you about the mating behavior and the courtship behavior of the olive fruit fly. First of all, a little background on this invasive pest. It's originally from the Mediterranean, and it's actually very recently been introduced into California. The first flies were caught in 1998. The amount of damage tolerated depends on what the crop is going to be for. So if it's going to be table olives, the tolerance is very, very low, basically zero. So just a few oviposition scars, like the ones you see here, can cause the loss of the entire crop. If the olives are going to be used for olive oil, it's a little bit different. There's a little bit more tolerance, but obviously something like this would definitely not be accepted for olive oil either. There are different kinds of controls that that could be used. The most widespread one and mostly used is the insecticides. There are some people looking at parasitoids against this pest. There have been a lot of studies on mass trapping, but the results of those studies were not really promising as a technique for management. And finally, there's cultural control. One possibility is tillage, because they pupate in the soil. And the other one, it's much more expensive, but it's actually one of the most efficient ones, and that is sanitation. So if you do not harvest the olives, or if there are olives left on the trees after harvest, you would pull them down and either bury them, burn them, or do something with them, just get rid of them. The other thing I'm going to talk to you about is the biology of the fly. So it starts out with the female laying an egg inside the olive, and this egg will hatch in about 2 or 3 days. From there, there will be 3 different larval stages that occur inside the olive, and this is the most damaging stage. Once the larva is ready to pupate, it will emerge from the olive and drop into the soil, and that's where it will pupate. And that takes about 12 days for pupation to be complete. And from there, the adult will emerge, and an adult female can lay about 500 eggs during her lifetime, and she can live for 5 to 6 months in the field. The other interesting part about the biology is how it correlates to the crop phenology. So the adults emerge in March or April, approximately, and the interesting thing is that the olives support the larval development beginning in July. And this will go through November if there is a harvest, because that's when the olives are harvested, or through January if there is no harvest and the olives are on the trees. And there are approximately 3 to 5 generations per year. So the one control technique I did not talk to you about was mating disruption. And this is a technique where you saturate the area with sex pheromone to interfere with the mate finding. And this is a technique that is commonly used in moths, where the female puts out the pheromone and the male is the one trying to locate the female. And this is exactly what happens in the olive fruit fly. However, the olive fruit fly is actually an exception in its family, because in the Taphridid family, most species, the male puts out the pheromone and the female is the one who looks for the male. So I was interested in looking at the courtship and mating behaviors to see if there was any way we could work with mating disruption. So what I wanted to look at was the daily schedule in the field and also the courtship and mating behavior in the lab first. So the questions I wanted to answer were when they mate, where do they mate, and if there's any step in the courtship behavior that we can actually disrupt. So the first thing I did was a daily activity experiment. I did it with Hannah Burek. And what we used were McPhail traps. We had one McPhail trap with yeast, it's a food attractant, and one McPhail trap with a pheromone capsule. The trap is what you're seeing right here. So we put one yeast trap and one pheromone trap per tree on 10 different trees that were approximately 18 meters apart. We counted the males and females trapped every hour from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. We did this in Northern California, Oroville. And you can see the results here. In May, we found quite a few male and female flies in the yeast trap, but we found absolutely none in the pheromone trap. And in June, we found a lot more flies in the yeast traps, but still very, very few in the pheromone traps. So that made me think if the pheromone was actually working. So I ran a very small experiment where I put out a pheromone capsule, and another one with 25 virgin females. They will be the ones who would be putting out the pheromone. I left it up for 48 hours in Davis, California, and the results were that I found absolutely no flies in the virgin female traps, but I found 31 males and 6 females in the pheromone trap. So the pheromone was actually working. I did another experiment. I ran another experiment, but I decided that maybe the McPhail traps were not the best for my purposes. So I tried out different kinds of traps, and I decided that the white sticky traps were the ones that would work best for my purposes. So what I had was a control, one capsule of pheromone, and 24 capsules of pheromone per trap. And I had 10 repetitions of each of these, and I checked the traps weekly. And what I'm going to show you are the results for the males only. So I did this on 5 different dates, and the different letters are significant differences, or significantly different. And the numbers you see are a mean number of males per trap, and the numbers between parentheses are a standard error. So you can see that there are differences among dates. And also, there are differences among treatments. So the control was different from one capsule and was different from 24 capsules. So from here, what we can conclude is that there seems to be a seasonal response where there is no response of the males to the pheromone in spring, which is actually something that we ended up finding in the literature, but not backed up with data, just basically just stated. We still need to look at the daily schedule because I couldn't figure that out because of the numbers I was trapping originally. So I'm still wondering if they actually do mate only at dusk, which is what the literature says. But again, there's no data to support that. And what I can say is that higher concentrations of pheromone attract more males. Up to now, I've gone to 24 capsules, and I still keep trapping more males instead of confusing them in any way. The other thing I've been looking at was the courtship behavior in the lab. So the mating at dusk is still a question for me, and if they actually do mate only at dusk, what is it that cues them in for that? Is it the light intensity? Is there a temperature change? Or anything else? The courtship behaviors I've been looking at, I've been putting males and females together in a petri dish and basically looking at what they do, and I've seen many different things. The most interesting for me is the female rub. Basically what she does is rub her hind legs on the anal part of her abdomen and then put that perfume all over the rest of her body, so she gets ready for the courtship. The male also does a rub. We don't know what he is doing because supposedly he's not the one putting out the sex pheromone. So there is a rub, and I don't know what that is about yet. They also can stay facing each other still for a very long time, over a minute, just doing absolutely nothing, just facing each other. There's chasing, there's wing flicking, and there's wing fanning done by the male. So there's an auditory thing going on there. And the other thing that they do is they butt heads, but I don't know what they're doing yet. So this is in progress. The actual mating behavior, I've been looking at the length of the pre-mating time, how long it takes for them to actually start mating, and also the mating duration in itself. It's about 3 or 4 hours. I'm looking at how many matings there are per female, per male. We want to know if there is a male competition and if it's for the female or for territory of opposition sites maybe. We don't know if there's female competition either. And we don't know the location of the mating, where they actually do it. If it's on the tree, on the bark, on the leaf, and you know, inside the canopy, outside, what height. So those are questions that I would like to answer. The field application of these lab results would be that with the seasonal schedule and the location of matings and the daily mating schedule, we would make the mating disruption technique much more efficient on how we put it out in the field, and that way it should work much better for us. With that, I've finished my presentation. I would like to thank all the people in my lab and who've been helping me, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Plenty of time for questions.
Yes? Okay, so the question is, why do I think the female virgins did not attract the males? I really do not know. I think in that case, the traps were pretty close together. It was just, you know, a very, very preliminary thing. And they were very close together. So what I think is maybe the pheromone capsule was overwhelming the 25 females. Yes, back there.
Jim. The absence of catches in the spring, is that related to summer conditions not being favorable?
So the question is why we didn't catch anything in the spring. And we really don't know. that we thought we were going to catch them, but we don't. So we don't know if it's something that in other places we can find olives all year round. And we can find fruit flies all year round. I don't know if they can actually develop in the very old decaying olives that stay on the trees, but that might be it, that they're doing okay in some other places and they just got to Davis, California, and or Oroville, California, and it doesn't work the same way there for them, but we really don't know. What was one more question? I'm sorry?
What age were your virgin flies?
The age of my virgin flies were 3 to 4 days old, and that's the time it takes for them to mature the ovaries and...